Good morning. The time is now 10:34 a.m. We are here today, July 27, 2016, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the pre-hearing for OPA PA 16-006 and 16-008, Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation versus the General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Rodlyn Gerardo, Jarek Hernandez, and Amacris Legaspi. Will appellant Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Elise Iriarte from Iriarte Camacho Capital Law Group. I'm the attorney for Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation. Behind me is Michael Cho, the president, and James Chung, who is the secretary.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency, General Services Agency, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Nicholas Toft on behalf of GSA and the Office of the Attorney General.
Thank you. Will interested party SH Enterprise please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Joyce Tang, Sibylline Tang, counsel for SH Enterprises and interested party. With me is my assistant, Ms. Fitzpatrick. And there are no institutional representatives at this hearing today.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you.
So the purpose of today, the first order of business is more or less this motion concerning striking SH's appearance, which is filed by Ms. Iriarte. One preliminary matter which was raised in your pleadings was, according to your reply, essentially you state that we had the wrong fax number. You didn't get the order consolidating the cases. Is that? I just want to make sure that that issue's been resolved and we're communicating with you appropriately.
I believe it has been resolved since that. We did not receive that order after hearing dated July 7, 2016 until after I filed the motion to strike, which was July 11th. It may have been a day or two after that when I just happened to look at the OPA's website, but since then it has been resolved.
Right. Is the fax, I know that your firm went through reorganization and everything, but is your fax number still 477-6813?
No, the fax number is 477-4375, and we had filed on June 28th a notice of correction of that number.
All right. Where we got that from, just so you know, is the moniker above your pleading in the notice of appeal.
I noticed that.
Yeah, so that's if that's incorrect, this is just something for you to take back and correct on your side. All right, so the staff get that, essentially, new fax numbers 477-4375. Very well. And then I will proceed. I believe that was the only motion filed, was this motion to strike. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so is this your, because it's your motion, Ms. Iriarte, you have the floor to argue it.
Thank you. Well, as we just discussed, we received the notice that the case had been consolidated with, OPA PA 16-6 and 16-8 were consolidated. Before I had notice of that, I had filed this motion to strike, believing that 16-6 was a separate case still. And we believe still to this date, even in spite of the consolidation, that the cases should not be consolidated and that they should not be entered as an allowed an entry of an appearance in 16-6. 16-6 is an appeal of a termination of a contract. And the fundamental precept of standing in any contract dispute is whether or not a party has privity. In this case, we have a contract between GSA and Basil. SH is not a party to that contract. It doesn't have privity and shouldn't be allowed to influence the question of the termination of the contract. If the termination stands, SH does not come into Basil's place and fulfill the rest of that contract. It is the current provider under the emergency procurement, but the contract itself, it does not stand in the shoes of Basil and start to perform under that. So if the contract is terminated, then we move on to the question of the new bid and the emergency procurement, which is addressed in Matter 8. If the termination is vacated, then Basil is restored to the contract. Now, SH is the only entity in Matter 6 that has requested a hearing. Both GSA and Basil would like to submit this case on the briefs. We think SH's appearance in this matter only prolongs it when we think that the parties that have privity are ready for a resolution, an expedited resolution of that matter. And so we, on behalf of Basil, we continue to ask that this matter just be completely submitted on the briefs and that it be resolved by the OPA. Now, Matter 8, of course, is a different matter. SH is currently performing the services of the emergency procurement. And so the motion to strike does not pertain to Matter 8. It is only pertaining to Matter 6. So we ask that the OPA not allow the appearance, and it actually deconsolidate the cases and consider Matter 6 completely submitted for hearing, for resolution. Thank you.
All right. And Mr. Toft, you have the floor for opposition.
Thank you. As the office is well aware, these cases have been merged. I don't believe it is possible to strike SH out of half of a case. You would have to split the cases, redo all the scheduling on it, and then. But I think that's just ridiculous at this point. It's the same procurement. We have the same witnesses. This was Basil Food is the one that filed OPA PA 16-008 that brought SH in as an interested party on this. I think for them to try and back it right back out is we're kind of past that door at this point. And as far as the request for a hearing, GSA and Office of the AG is more than willing to have a hearing on the merits on this. We don't necessarily think it should be submitted on the briefs, so we're more than willing to go forward with that.
Okay. And then Ms. Tang, on behalf of SH.
Yes, thank you. The Basil Food relies on Section 5427A to support their argument that SH Enterprises has no standing to be in this case on 006. Setting aside the consolidation issue for the moment, we disagree. The facts of the 006 and 007 are identical. They allege wrongful acts by SH Enterprises.
You mean 08?
Both 06 and 008.
Yeah, you mentioned 07.
I'm sorry.
I
have my braces. Excuse me. There are similar facts. They allege that SH Enterprises acted badly. They allege there were misconduct by SH employees. And we have standing and certainly a right to defend that. Also referring to 5427A does not, well, first of all, 5427A does not restrict SH from entering into this case. There's nothing in this section or the procurement law that says that SH Enterprises cannot be a party in this section. So I think that for section 006, for 6006, there's no impediment under procurement law or that would prevent us from being an interested party. I think the privity issue is does not apply. There's nothing in the procurement law that says, well, if you're not in privity with the party, then you're not an interested party. We were made an interested party because the facts that they allege in 06 facts that I think really affect, our relationship with the vendor GSA and the contract that's been avoided. The contract that's been awarded. We have a right to defend those allegations. We're going to be witnesses in this case. With respect to 008, there's no question regarding our involvement and our standing. We are an interested party. It is our contract that's at issue. I think it's undisputable. And I think the consolidation is the appropriate way to resolve both cases is sufficient. Similar facts, identical parties. There's just no reason not to consolidate, and I think that was the right decision. I also will like to raise the fact that the consolidation motion should have been brought separately as a separate motion. I think it was sort of backdoored into this reply. I think if SH Enterprises, Basil Food believed that consolidation was improper, they certainly have notice of it on the day that they received our opposition, which is July 19, 2016. Nothing was filed. It was filed yesterday in their reply brief. I think it's inappropriate, it's untimely, and I think it has no basis. For those reasons, I think that the consolidation should stand and that SH Enterprises should be allowed to stay as an interested party in the consolidated cases. Thank you.
Ms. Uriarte, any rebuttal?
Briefly. Replying to GSA, first of all, I don't think that if the OPA decides to deconsolidate, that we have to redo any scheduling. As mentioned, all of the briefs have been submitted on matter six. The scheduling will just apply to matter eight. GSA did not request a hearing, and its attempt to request a hearing in these oral arguments is improper. They did not request a hearing, and they waived it. The facts are not similar. We have a termination of a contract. When the contract was terminated by GSA, Basil immediately protested that and appealed it to the OPA. What happens after that is in matter eight. So there's not an overlap of the issues here. The termination deals with what happened up until the point of, I believe it was May 31st, and then after that, GSA issued the emergency procurement. Matter eight deals with the matters after that date. We don't think that there's an issue with respect to these two cases overlapping. And finally, with respect to consolidation, as we've already discussed, we did not have notice of it, and so by the time we did have notice, the deadline to file motions have passed. If the OPA will allow us leave, if they would like further briefing on the issue of consolidation, we would ask for that permission to file a motion.
I don't think that, a couple of points. From my perspective, I don't see the need for a new briefing schedule. If we did grant your motion, I think by virtue of the nature of your motion, we'd be forced to rescind the consolidation order as part of granting your motion. What I'm most troubled by, though, is part of the relief that Basil Foods is requesting is the essentially the re-establishment of the contract, basically undo the voiding of the contract. Is that correct?
To rescind the termination?
The appeal in 06,
yes.
Part of the relief requested in that appeal was that, I quote, it's something to the effect of that the contract not be rebid or bid out. But that since actually happened. Is that right?
I think there's a little bit of a difference there. What GSA said they were planning to do was issue the entire contract, a brand new bid that's over a longer term. What they've done is to obtain emergency services on an interim period. So I think GSA's...
But that's the contract that SH has now. Is that correct?
But it's a short-term 30-day contract. And in any 30-day period, GSA could very well obtain a quote from another vendor and have another vendor satisfy those services.
Mr. Toft, is that true?
We are preparing to file an extension to the emergency services. We've obtained a memorandum from Public
Health. It is a 30-day, it's a short-term contract. And so theoretically, you could have vendor A 1 month, let's say it's SH. You could have vendor B, somebody else, next month. Is that correct?
Well, I think the problem that we might have is that if their relief is granted, that the contract be restored to them, but we've already gone ahead with the second procurement and awarded it, then we have to roll that whole thing back.
Yeah, but you haven't solicited for the main underlying contract yet.
No, not yet.
Very well. All right, so we just as a true Ms. Tang, that SH really just has a an emergency procurement 30-day contract, and that's what makes you have an interest in this case.
Yes, that is correct. Both in 006 and 008, I think, and your point about the relief that is sought by that Basil Food is seeking in 06, which is to rescind a contract, at least standing here today, affects the very contract that SH is performing. And just to keep in mind, we're not talking about procuring cars or just a couple of meals. We're talking about 1,800 meals. And it is not, I think, as simple to get a vendor on and off on a monthly basis to be revved up and have the staff and the food and facilities ready to, you know, within 24 hours or 48 hours, deliver 1,800 meals. I think it's daily, right? And so I think that while it is 30 days, it's not as simple as you say, well, I'll get a couple of quotes and somebody else will switch off for 30 days, because it's a huge undertaking. You've got employment issues, you've got food supply issues, you've got location issues, venue issues, and, you know, ability to deliver to perform the contract. So that I think that what is, you know, in the best interest of the island is not to try to switch, you know, get different vendors month on, month off. I think that would be very difficult given the nature of it. I think it should be resolved at the end of these two cases. And however the public auditor rules, then I think that emergency period would end then. But I think that until that time, I think it's very difficult, given the type of procurement involved, to have 18, you know, to be able to switch vendors on a monthly basis. And also that, you know, another point, I pointed this out earlier, we have absolutely every right to defend these false accusations and allegations.
But let's talk about that for just a second, because that was my next question I was going to ask. But you're already walking that ground. What specific allegations in the first appeal were made against SH? Were they just the ones you raised in your brief?
Yes. Basically, we, in page 2 of our brief, that page 3, excuse me, the top of our brief, they accused SH Enterprises of quote-unquote underhand activity with respect to the emergency procurement. This is on page 4.
But that was all in the
page 4 first appeal. And they also claim that it received evidence that SH Enterprises is not complying with health regulations in the transport of EMP food. This is at page 5. These same allegations are renewed in also 006.
Yeah,
so,
but they were originally made in the first appeal.
That's correct.
And then, and then finally, in terms of, because I understand the main point, Ms. Iriarty, you're raising is delay, and that's, I guess, how, if we were to, because right now, if we took your case, let's say we grant your motion, and we bifurcate the cases, and there'd still be a 30-day time frame to issue a decision, or so, by schedule. And the other thing we're going to do today is schedule a formal hearing. Let's say we scheduled one in the next couple of weeks or so. How would Basil be prejudiced by just a couple of weeks? That, in the end, that's what it would amount to, about a 2-week delay. Because if we had a hearing, that 30-day clock starts. The only difference between starting that clock now and starting it after the formal hearing is approximately maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, I think Basil is prejudiced every day that they're not allowed to perform under this contract that they lawfully bid on. The contract has a certain end date. And so unless the OPA is going to extend that end date for the contract based on this period of time in which there was an unlawful termination, Basil is missing out on the opportunity to earn money in that period in which it's been, in which the contract has been taken away from it. And so, you know, this is a large operation. Basel has a facility that's dedicated to this. It has employees that are dedicated to this, and it has to retain those employees pending the outcome of this hearing. And so that's the prejudice. Every day that passes is a day that it's not performing under the contract and receiving money for its services.
When was the original contract termination date?
I believe it was June 1st or May 31st.
Has it passed already?
Oh, I'm sorry. The full contract.
Well, let's say they were never, this contract controversy never occurred. When would have Basel's contract expired, generally speaking?
In September 2017.
So around this year?
No, next year.
Oh, next year. Okay. So we definitely are going to have a decision well before that point in time. All right. All right, I think I've got enough. Thank you for, anybody else have anything to add?
Okay. No additional comment.
So I'll take this one under advisement. I'm going to issue a decision in writing. Hopefully by the end of this week. So, now moving to the pre-hearing conference, of course, the first order of business is when can we hold the formal hearing? And I know Doris isn't here, did she give us a date?
Just not at the end of, she's going to be out at the end of August. So, the first week of September at the earliest.
We're looking at the first week of September now? But I thought she'd be available while we've got all those other hearings.
There's a, Stephen is August 22nd, but no, she leaves.
August 22nd?
Yeah, for 07.
That's.
Now, what's happened, just so you know, Mr.
Okay,
Curry,
so. Sorry.
What? So when, so she's saying the first, is she available at all in the first couple of weeks of, so first of all, let me ask first, how long do you think it would take to, Ms. Uriarte, how long would your case in chief take?
It would take probably about 3/4 of a day.
3/4 of a day. Mr. Toft?
Hour to an hour and a half.
Ms. Tang?
I think ours will be fairly brief. So, probably no more than.
Probably a day, maybe a
for
day
the whole
and
thing,
half.
Yeah. Are the parties available on the 15th of August?
I would be.
I am.
Yes.
So now keep in mind that this is the last week of July, and it would also be a briefing schedule. So can the parties do their briefings? Is that enough time? Ms. Uriarte? That will only give you 2.5 weeks or so to prepare for the hearing. You need the third week maybe, or is that?
I would be okay to move forward on the 15th.
Okay, so we'll tentatively schedule the formal hearing in this matter 15th of August at 9 a.m. It'll be for a day. If we need to go another day, are the parties available on the 16th?
I am, yes.
For at least
yes.
Half a day. All right.
Yes.
So August 15th at 9 a.m. is the tentative, and we still have to confirm this with the public auditor, but hopefully there's nothing wrong with that date. But if there is, I'll be sending you an email or something to that effect with another possible date.
If we go forward, this matter does go an extra day, what time do you think it might start on the 16th?
We would try to start at 9.
Okay. Thank you.
In a briefing schedule, a scheduling order will come out, giving the parties various timelines for the additional briefing for the hearing. Now, in terms of formulation, and I'm just going down this list, simplification of the issues, have the parties attempted to have those discussions to simplify the issues?
Not yet, although I do have a list of stipulations that I will propose.
Very good. That would help in terms of time, if they're agreed on. That goes to the next one, so hopefully with these stipulations and any additional admissions of facts, that'll avoid unnecessary proof and allow us to expedite the hearing. Do we need to adopt any special procedures for managing potentially difficult or protracted actions, complex issues, multiple parties, or unusual proof problems? I know there was a brief discussion before the hearing. Do we have enough space in this room?
I think for this case, I don't think that's an issue.
Very well.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have any, I just don't know, all the witnesses, will we have translation issues? I'm just curious.
That is a good question, Ms. Ariarte. So, are you going to be bringing a translator?
For my clients?
Any of your witnesses?
Any of my witnesses. At this point, my witnesses are primarily from the government, so I don't anticipate needing a translator. If that changes, I will arrange for one to be present.
I have a question now. If we call her client, the principal, I think Mr. Coe require a translator.
He may, yes.
Okay, and I think that's, to the extent that interested party might want to call a witness, we would.
You have to agree, okay, so if you're gonna do that, I guess the parties would have to agree on a translator, and I believe that it would be the party calling that witness.
We would have
to also provide a translator, and of course, if there are any objections to the translator, you'd be entertaining those, but hopefully you'll be able to resolve those. I believe the language would be Korean. I think there are a lot of people who could interpret that language on Guam. Is that correct?
My client's principal language would be Chinese.
Oh, I apologize, Chinese. But even then, that's hopefully it's, does he speak a common dialect or one that would?
Yes.
Very good. So we would, if there are any problems with the interpreter, the proposed interpreter, yes, the parties can make their respective motions and we'll address those as well. Hopefully they won't come to that though. Likewise, are there any persons, at least at this time, parties are aware of that may require special accommodations, auxiliary aids, or services to attend the formal hearing?
No.
We may need a video monitor.
A video monitor?
Is that possible?
We don't have do we have a video monitor?
Do you need it for like a projection screen kind of video monitor?
A simple TV or something.
I have if you have a laptop, I can bring my foldable projection screen and projection, and anybody can use it. We can try to. I'm happy to bring that in.
Okay. Well, let's.
I'll work with this.
Okay. We don't. Yeah. Okay. The OPA does not have that type of
that equipment.
So I'll make it available to everybody.
Yeah. And I know that I think they've used the wall before.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
All
right.
But I'll let the parties. Now, if you're going to do that, I just need some kind of stipulation to that effect, especially if you're going to be using the same equipment.
Okay.
Are there any other issues I need to take up at this time?
There's an issue of supplementation to the procurement record if needed, mentioned, the, in my understanding, emergency procurement is for every 30 days. If GSA has exerted any efforts to get new quotes in the 30 days, the 30-day period for the services in July and the services for August, we would like the procurement record supplemented so we could review that material.
That's a good that's a good issue, Mr. Toft. You are the purchasing agency, has a continuing duty, essentially, to supplement the procurement record as required, and that's without any further order. So, Ms. Uriarte is correct. If during the pendency of these proceedings, if there are other communications, if there are other procurements, and I believe this would, as are consolidated, probably apply more.